Robin McCarron. Jeff Hawkins.
Is it? Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my gosh!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE. Styles is here!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shake Them Ropes, episode 173. It is WWE Backlash and maybe some extracurricular stuff.
Oh, do tell.
Jeff, on Saturday, I don't know if you know this.
No.
A former WWE champion apparently fought at UFC 203. Now, whether he fought or not is up for debate. I set a poll at Shake Them Row. For those who are unaware, in the post at voicesofwrestling.com for this episode right now, I included the tweet from October of 2015. I said, if CM Punk ever fought in the UFC, just one time, I would eat my hat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unlike others, okay, and we'll get to WWE Backlash here. The reason everyone is watching, we'll get to WWE Backlash in just a moment. Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins over there.
Hi.
Follow Jeff at Crap Game 13. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
So here's the deal. I tweeted that not because I thought CM Punk didn't have the willpower to fight. As you know, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I tweeted it because age, injuries, I just did not think the odds would happen. Look at Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz, a healthy young fighter who couldn't fight for 2 years because of things that happened to him. And I just thought the odds were unlikely that CM Punk would ever fight. Not because he didn't want to, not because he wasn't brave enough, not because he wasn't tough enough. I just didn't think it would happen. And, you know, I was looking pretty good for a long while there. This was back in October of 2015. At that point, he had been in the UFC for 10 months. Without ever having a fight coming soon at all. And Saturday night, it finally happened. He went into the octagon. And what got me the most is all of the backlash to people who thought, oh, you guys thought CM Punk would never fight. Mad respect for CM Punk. And I like, you know, I thought CM Punk had the willpower to fight. He proved it. He went into the ring. He wasn't any good, but no one really expected him to be good. But he went in there, fought, and he lost to Mickey Gall in about 2 minutes and did not look good doing so, but did not look good in the fighting sense. All right. Would you disagree with that?
Nope.
Yeah. He was in there. He was a guy who was not athletic and not a great fighter. And he proved it. He lost and he lost bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is he fought. He went in the UFC. He fought. The odds were against it. It happened. And I believe I have to pay off the old tweet.
I do as well. Barring any failure of a drug test to make it a no contest.
Well, that's the thing. I've been told now that even if there's a no contest, it still shows up as an official fight. I've been told this.
Very true.
I've been told I can't really get around that.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
So what's the plan?
So, well, we're going to talk about the plan here, but what this means is he fought. CM Punk fought. I was wrong. He fought in the UFC one time, probably only going to be the only time. It's going to be the one time and he's done. I don't think he'll want to fight again, but I'm not going there. So, yes, he fought. And, I mean, I have a hat here. It's not prepared. It's raw. I don't usually like to eat raw things. So I don't know.
Well, you have a little time to think about it. A little time.
I could boil it. I could bake it inside of a cake. So at least, you know, the harm of me eating the hat is filled around with the pleasure of maybe some chocolate ice cream cake, possibly. I don't know. But the truth is that's happened. CM Punk has fought. What'd you think of the fight, Jeff? Did you watch it?
It was a debacle. I'll just go real quick. UFC and CM Punk, do you blame them either side for doing this? No. Should they have? No. Should the Ohio State Commission have licensed him? No. So everybody's in the wrong, but I can't blame anybody for doing it.
And, if Punk wanted to do it, he lived out his fantasy. I mean, I blame the Ohio State Athletic Commission. That's the real joke, letting this happen. I don't blame CM Punk. I don't have any less respect for CM Punk. And what's funny is seeing all the backlash tweets, you know, all the, CM Punk silenced all his haters who thought he would never fight. Again, part of my bet there in thinking that CM Punk would never fight in the UFC was not about him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets an opponent in Mickey Gall. Maybe Mickey Gall gets hurt. Maybe UFC ends up not wanting to do the fight because of what we might see. Turns out they knew what they were going to see, and they still let CM Punk fight anyway on a main card of a show. Judging by a lot of the reporters out there, too, were talking about how traffic wasn't that high for CM Punk fighting, you know, web traffic on articles about CM Punk and so forth. Brock Lesnar blew everyone off the charts. CM Punk wasn't really that much of a draw as far as getting fans invested into the actual show, or at least reporting on the show. And the fact that Dana White came out in the press conference saying that CM Punk probably shouldn't have a second fight in the UFC tells me that he wasn't that big of a draw to them either. They did not feel that the metrics justified having CM Punk back. So that's where you are in that. But hey, CM Punk fought. Now, what we get into here is the eating of the hat. What I think has to happen, and it's not going to be tonight.
No.
So as we watch all our, it's not going to be tonight. We will figure out a way to make this happen. It will be on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel. Mm. I'm not trying to get out of it. I have some creative plans, I believe, to incorporate the hat eating onto the channel. You'll just have to stay tuned. But we will figure out a time, probably in, what's the next month, October? Mm-hmm. Probably in October, this will be paid off. I will not run away from it. Sure, maybe it gives me a month for someone to test positive. maybe but something will happen. I'm not running away from it. I made a bet with no one. It was a silly bet, as it turns out. Why did I make that bet? Didn't have to. But we will figure out something. I will take suggestions too. Follow me on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes if you have ideas, suggestions. A lot of people are coming out with the old you know, make a taco hat, make a nacho chip hat. The Homer Simpson hat, I believe, is something that you've even tweeted about.
I have.
Yeah, you've done that as well. But I want to thank everyone for reminding
for their prayers, me for their prayers and concerns with Rob's digestive track.
Prayers and concerns, but I want to thank yes. I got so many mentions on Twitter over the weekend. One time I actually opened up my phone and I had so many mentions that I thought maybe CM Punk's fight was called off somehow.
He came close. There was an elevator.
There was an elevator. It was the wrong C. CB Dalloway.
Yes.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he fought in the UFC. I can't get around that. He fought. Jonathan Snowden tweeted out. He's a reporter at Bleacher Report. The fight metrics, the stats of the fight, and how CM Punk was zero across the board and everything. Mm-hmm. It's as if he didn't even show up. But he did. Mm-hmm. He showed up and fought. I just want to get that misconception out there. I wasn't hating on CM Punk. I just thought the odds were against it actually happening. I thought if all went well, he was going to try, and he did. He went in there, and he did what he could.
This is a fantastic mea culpa from you, who would have been the cockiest son of a bee had he not fought.
Oh, absolutely. Had he not fought, I would be up here. I'd be wearing every single hat I owned. I would be shoving it in all your faces. It'd be glorious. It would have been glorious. It actually would have been better for you guys. It would have been better for you if CM Punk didn't fight. I think that would have been the more entertaining route. But here we are. Here we are. And now people are praying for my indigestion and pain. Really, I had one person on Twitter. Maybe this says something about me. I don't know. I had one person on Twitter say, oh, I'm sorry for the pain you're going to go through. I really hope you didn't have to do this. Everyone else, eat that hat. Eat that hat. Eat that hat. You monsters. You monsters.
Comedy is not about solving problems. It's about making them worse.
Comedy genius, Rob McCarron.
Mm-hmm.
Ego got the best of me. Hey, I had a good run, though. I went a year and almost a year. I was feeling pretty good. I blame Ohio, you athletic commission jerks. Cash grab at its best. Its worst, maybe. But we have backlash to talk about, and we're going to talk about backlash. But first, I want to remind the people. Jeff, you and I have been telling people for weeks now about the wonders of driving with Lyft. You got friends in the LA area driving with Lyft. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
Lyft.com right now, Lyft.com/bonus. Go sign up using the code ShakeThemRopes. Select ShakeThemRopes in the drop-down menu at Lyft.com/bonus. Up to $35 per hour driving with Lyft can be yours. Plus, right now, if you sign up, $500 bonus just for selecting Shake Them Ropes at sign up. Lyft.com/bonus is your place. If you want to drive around town, if you want to do a couple hours here and there, if you want to make it maybe even a full-time gig, you can. Go drive with Lyft. A fun way to earn some money, driving different people around, exploring your own city. Lyft.com/bonus. You're in college right now. You want to earn some extra bucks on the weekends. You don't want to keep begging mommy and daddy for money. Go to Lyft.com/bonus. Up to $35 per hour can be yours. And right now, a special for Shake Them Ropes listeners. Go select Shake Them Ropes in the drop-down menu when you go sign up at Lyft.com/bonus. And you can get a $500 bonus. Earn that bonus driving with Lyft. It's fun. I was using it in Indianapolis. I was using it in Chicago just within the last month. And drivers I asked prefer driving with Lyft. So if you've ever thought about driving with Lyft or any of the competition services, go to Lyft.com/bonus. Try it out. You don't like it, you don't like it. But I feel like you'll probably enjoy the money that comes along with it. Get paid quicker with Lyft. Go to Lyft.com/bonus and select Shake Them Ropes. We have a new WWE linear heavyweight champion, Jeff.
Yes, we do.
AJ Styles defeated Dean Ambrose.
We are both representing the city of Cincinnati with our hat choices in mourning for the loss of Dean Ambrose's title.
I know that's why I selected it. Dean Ambrose is gone. Cincinnati, Cincinnati's favorite son. I don't know. Is he
the only champion from Cincinnati to lose today? Bengals win. Stipe Miocic wins.
Yeah. Dylan in the chat room says, I don't have a license, but Rob said it's okay for me to drive Lyft, so I'm gonna do it. Go to Lyft.com. I believe you have to have a valid driver's license.
Yes.
But don't let that stop you.
No.
Go on and do it. Go on and do it. But yes, we have a new world champion in WWE. It is AJ Styles. The year 2016 just keeps getting crazier and crazier. We talked in our preview episode last week about the tag team titles, and they did not go the way we thought they were going to go, but it was a nice, pleasant surprise.
Yes.
This Backlash show overall, Jeff, 1 through 10, what'd you give it?
8. I thought it was very good. I didn't think it was exemplary. It's not a must watch by any means. I was more looking at it on a grade, on a letter grade scale. I'd give it a solid B, possibly a B plus. So yeah, 7 or 8. I didn't want to say 7 because I always say 7. So I said 8 this time. I think it over-delivered. I think every match individually over-delivered in some way. Even, if you told me Kane and Bray Wyatt are having a match on Backlash, I'd go, okay, I'm going to the restroom. No, it was a lot of fun. I thought overall, that's my word for this pay-per-view. It was a lot of fun. Fun, fun, fun.
It was fun, and we normally shouldn't even ask for more. I mean, I know people were wondering, why in the hell is Kane beating Dean Ambrose, or Kane beating Bray Wyatt? And I mean, if you're going to harp on that instead of having fun with the rest of the show, I don't know what to tell you. I was fine with the Kane win, especially with Randy Orton coming out. Randy Orton, we'll get to the Randy Orton not wrestling too. We'll go up and down this card because there was a lot of interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was some good, there was some bad, but a lot of interesting stuff. First off, we didn't get Baron Corbin and Kane. We would later find out why. But Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, a rematch from an NXT TakeOver. Baron Crews getting the win over Apollo Crews, or Baron Corbin getting the win over Apollo Crews. These two guys blend together at this point because no one's doing anything with them on SmackDown. Where do they go from here for both guys?
I think Corbin does feud with Kane still. And I think Cruz is the guy you can beat on SmackDown. You know, he's going to get a lot of good offense in. I had a guy write me and say that we were two matches into the main card, and he goes, what does it say that the pre-show match was better than everything else? And he legit thought that this match was better than, you know, those first couple matches on the card. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was anything spectacular, but I thought it was good, especially for a Baron Corbin match, so to speak.
I thought it was pretty good, too. I thought it was pretty good for a Baron Corbin match as well. Yeah.
All right, you're pushing it. Let's review the show. You can eat the hat later.
There you have it, folks. Jeff Hawkins saying I should not be eating my hat. Jeff Hawkins is
I did say that.
Yeah, this was a nothing match. I in fact didn't really see much of it. The Apollo.
It wasn't bad. It really, you know what? If you told me that this match, I'd say it's utterly skippable. But it wasn't bad for, you know, it again, it exceeded what you'd think it would be on paper.
Yeah, well, which is good. I mean, Apollo Crews needs to start having the performances backed up by better performances outside of the ring. Mm-hmm. We all know he's pretty good in the ring there, but that's not where you're going to become a star. Look at Heath Slater right now. Heath Slater is over not because of anything he's doing in the ring. Not a single thing.
I don't have access to the chat room, but I'm going to ask this and you can look for the answer. Is this the first time they've debuted the red entrance for Baron Corbin?
The red entry.
He goes through his spotlights, right, and they turn red, right, and then he gets the big red thing. I think that's going to be your Kane feud, is the battle over the color red.
It could be. He did it on Raw, but I don't know if he's done it on SmackDown.
Okay.
Yeah, when he first started coming out, it was all red. He had different stuff. So yeah, help us out in the chat room. We are live right now on YouTube. We are live Sunday night after WWE Backlash. VoicesOfWrestling.com/YouTube. If you're in the chat room right now, subscribe to the channel, like the videos, share it with others. If people you know were watching WWE Backlash and right now are just kind of hanging out on Twitter or hanging out on a message board, give them the link to the show. Have them come in and participate. People in the chat room are saying, no, this was not the first time that Baron Corbin used the red entrance. I knew it wasn't because he's done it on Raw TV. Right. I guess I haven't really paid attention to SmackDown, what color his entrance light bubbles were.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you look away until the match starts.
Right. It went about 10 minutes, and that was the story of a lot of the stuff on the show. I mean, almost everything. I mean, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, technically, because they did the whole start, ring the bell, count to 10. It was a count out finish. Mm-hmm. Everything went over 10 minutes. Things got time. They didn't rush to the back for certain segments. Everything got some time here, including the first match on the main pay-per-view, the six-pack challenge for the Women's Championship of SmackDown. It did not go to the Carmella-Nikki Bella feud. That was a little bit of a surprise on me. They went with probably the one person who should have been the first SmackDown champion. You have Becky Lynch becoming the SmackDown champion, finally eliminating Carmella. So Carmella did make it to the final two. 14 minutes and 40 seconds, your big takeaway from the opener of Backlash.
This women's division isn't as weak as I thought. I thought everybody brought it in some way in this match, and the ones that we look at as not very good have improved more than I think we think they have. Carmella was pretty good in this match. Alexa Bliss had the best acting of any woman on in this match. I hesitated when she came out with the Harley Quinn look on the pre-show, and then she debuted it here, but I like it for her. And Naomi was very good here too, in addition to the other three who we know to be solid. I loved the story of this match. I liked that heels had no sympathy for each other and would attack one another, you know, as opposed to just face heel dynamics. I liked that. I liked that it felt a lot. It gave that kind of realistic feeling to it all, that these women didn't care about anybody else, that they would go after whoever it took to win the title. And exactly correct. Becky Lynch deserves this. I had forgotten Nikki was a part-time performer. I thought she was full-time, but she's not going on the road. So, yes, Becky Lynch deserves this. Becky Lynch needed this. Becky Lynch needs to be a champion, and she needs to be a strong champion for a couple months, I think, before she loses this.
It's quite amazing, too, because the SmackDown Women's Division, when it first came over on the draft, it was such a rebuild. And you had half of the division coming from NXT. You had Naomi coming back. You had Becky Lynch there, who had the program with Natalya, but where was that even going? Nikki Bella returns. Right now, you don't know what's going on with Bayley and Sasha Banks towards the title holder, Charlotte. We don't know what match we're going to get at Clash of the Champions. We know we're getting one of them, maybe even a triple threat on that side. Mm-hmm. But I'm quite compelled with the SmackDown Women's Division as far as where they can go from here with Becky Lynch being the champion. You could do Carmella. You can do Natalya. Maybe Alexa Bliss even in there. And I love the Alexa Bliss look tonight, showing progression. And I think they're really going to get behind Alexa Bliss too. I'm intrigued where this one is going just as much as the Raw side, if not more.
Yeah, that entire segment where she was trying to pin people and then when they kick out, she'd take them and throw them out of the ring. I just thought it was great. I thought they did a lot to help Alexa Bliss in this match, quite a bit, even though she was the first one pinned.
She was the first one pinned, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And Big Cass was the first one pinned in that four-way for the Raw title, and he'll be all right, too. Sometimes you just got to get the one out of there. It's fun in elimination matches how you see the first person get pinned because you feel like Vince is back there writing, like, let's get this person out of the way. They don't fit into the finish. The crowd will forget they were even in the match by the time this is over anyway.
Trish Stratus giving Carmella some props.
Trish Stratus, yeah, online. Carmella taking that. Trish Stratus on the old Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily hot takes on this next match, but the Usos are finally useful. And I enjoy this new turn of the Usos. You have one of them coming out. I don't know which one is which. I'm sorry. Hate me all you want. I don't know which one is which.
Okay.
The one that was coming out shirtless looking like Tama Tonga Light. Superstar. I don't know if it's Jimmy. I don't know if it's Jay. Maybe that kind of negates my old superstar point. Superstar. What'd you think of the new live edition of the Usos?
I like it a lot. As I said, ooh, it's a nice homage to the Samoan Gangsta Party a bit. I like that they're kind of an old school. They've taken kind of a page from the Revival book here. They are an old school hurt guys team. Work on a body part. Hurt that knee. I like that double team move leading into the submission. I think that's really, really good stuff. I like the trash talking. I think they're great heels, as a matter of fact. You know, where they don't do any of the haka stuff. They just look at the crowd, put a finger to their mouth and say shh. And that's awesome. I thought they were quite good here tonight.
I thought they were pretty good. We'll see different stuff with them, especially when they had the Heath Slater Rhino match. They were slow. They were plodding like they were in the first match, but they eventually picked up and they realized that, hey, this is a tougher match. We have to kind of turn up the gear and go back to the old Usos. I love the dropping of the face paint. I like them being more serious. I'm so glad that little Samoan war chant is gone. This is an Usos tag team I can get behind.
If they don't have the face paint they had before, would you mind something like the Gorillas of Destiny face paint on them?
No, stop it with the face paint. Just be done with it. Be done.
My
with
God,
it.
You know who was kind of, you know who was jacked up for this match was Mojo.
Mojo Rawley was maybe a little more so, but that's kind of what he's doing all the time, right?
I'm just saying in this big match situation, you see him running like that towards you, even on the floor. You kind of pray a little bit that he's going to maintain some control. But yeah, he wanted to impress some people tonight.
And I thought all the tag team matches on the show were pretty good. We'll get to the big one coming up here shortly. I must say this is the match. David Otunga doesn't belong on live commentary.
I would agree unless they clarify his role. They haven't clarified his role, so they've told him to go out there and be entertaining, and he doesn't know whether or not he's supposed to be critical, if he's supposed to give analysis, if he's supposed to make jokes. He doesn't know where he fits in this team right now. And they need to give him that role so he can work on it. I think overall he can talk. Don't get me wrong. I think he'd be great playing this straight, but they don't want him to play it straight necessarily. And I think they're yelling in his ear too much. That's why he's so hesitant to say anything.
That's possible because there were times during this match, and it would happen later on in the show too, where he would start a point or Mauro would throw to him and it's either silence or he just stops mid-sentence. Like there were a number of times where he just gave up speaking. I don't think his voice fits. It's not an overpowering voice, so it kind of blends into the crowd noise and the match noise, and there are times there where you don't even hear David Otunga talking, and that's not good. That's not good at all. I'm not a big fan. I love him on the pre-shows. He's much better than Lita, and he's much better than Booker T on the pre-shows.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Lawler. And Lawler.
I think there's a lot of people out there that don't like Lawler. I'm not the hugest fan of Jerry Lawler on these pre-shows, but he's trying. He's also trying a little too hard sometimes.
Yeah.
To be expert heel and tell jokes at all the babyface's expense.
There was a line that Otunga actually stole that I think they were feeding to Morrow. Morrow started it. Otunga yelled Otunga it out, thinking it was him. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of David Otunga on commentary. I really liked him on the pre-shows, especially the Raw pre-shows. When he and Corey Graves were there with Scott Stanford, those were pretty good TV. And those two, Corey Graves and David Otunga, actually worked well together. Now they're split up on different shows. Corey Graves, I think, is thriving on Raw, but David Otunga does not belong on live commentary. And the way they've shuffled these announced teams over the last year, even, I would be surprised if David Otunga is still on the SmackDown announced team by WrestleMania. They've just shuffled these guys so much. I have to feel like someone in WWE is thinking what we're thinking. And they're like, okay, let's end the experiment. It's not about seeing if David Otunga can get better. He just doesn't fit. Because he's
I strongly disagree with your assessment that he'll be gone, because they've kept Byron Saxton on forever and he does nothing.
Hey, at least he sounds like he's doing commentary and you can hear him and he fits in voice wise. I'm talking about just him not fitting in. I'm not even saying he's bad. He just doesn't fit in on live commentary.
Okay.
That's my assessment. Speaking of not fitting in, I don't know. That was a bad segue. The Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
I wanted to hear how you got out of that.
We have the Usos. They won the tag team match with the Hype Bros. They would face Rhino and Heath Slater later on. In fact, before we even get to that, let's talk about Heath Slater and Rhino, the backstage segment where Heath Slater intimated a little bit that later on we might see him poop his pants in the ring, possibly. What was that backstage segment about with Heath Slater and Rhino? That was the negative of having a three-hour pay-per-view with fewer matches, is the backstage segments they decided to give time to were given too much time.
The whole joke of the segment is, of course, he's cutting this great promo and then he assumes the cameras are off and then just keeps going on the side. And then, oh yeah, he's just a clown, as opposed to really building up this face character, because they can't help it, because they want to make Vince laugh. I watched this and it kept on. All I kept thinking was Rhino's going to turn on him soon. I was afraid he was going to do it in that match, but, yeah, it's the poop jokes, the white trash. I think if Heath Slater didn't have a Southern accent, they wouldn't go so hard on the comedy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Rhino's just standing there, and Renee Young at the end doesn't even want to talk to Rhino.
Right.
Yeah, it was okay if it would have been cut in half and go on with it.
I thought just that first half of the promo would have been phenomenal, I think, for both of them.
We had Bray Wyatt taking out Randy Orton backstage in a anticlimactic segment. Not only that, but it's like all of a sudden they're just back there and Randy Orton is almost too white right now. Like, he skipped the tanning bed. He's too white. I mean, he hasn't tanned in a while. I don't know if it's just because he's only getting his downside guarantee money and the Brock Lesnar payoff wasn't that great, so he's had to cut back on the tanning. But Randy Orton is looking pasty out there a little bit. So Randy Orton is back there with his jacket on. He's getting beat up. And it was reported earlier today, Ryan Satin's Pro Wrestling Sheet was talking about how Randy Orton wasn't cleared to wrestle tonight. And they're reporting it was due to concussion-related issues from the SummerSlam match with Brock Lesnar. So, okay, they write him out of the show. He's not going to wrestle. So be it. But that backstage segment came out of nowhere. And then you have the commentary team, Mauro Ranallo especially, just moving on like no big deal. Oh, the semi-main event may be in jeopardy, and Mauro Ranallo is out there saying, well, we'll keep you updated on any backstage developments with Randy Orton. Let's move right along to The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Like, they did not treat it like it should have probably been treated.
Not only that, I don't think it was a concussion-related stuff.
Well, the concussion really, well, yeah, concussion-related is interesting. If he wasn't cleared to wrestle, how is he cleared to go out there and give an RKO and take a back bump?
Exactly.
It doesn't seem right, right?
Correct. It sounds, it smells. It doesn't pass the smell test. Yeah.
Maybe he was cleared at 9:30 PM tonight to go finally do it. Like, oh yeah, you're ready now. We probably could have cleared you 5 hours earlier, but you're good to go now. I guess we'll see what happens on SmackDown. If he actually comes on TV, or if he's kept off TV for a week, maybe he'll do something physical on SmackDown. I don't know.
Because not only is that bad for Randy health-wise, if it really was a concussion thing and he went down and took those bumps, so to speak, but there are legal things now happening with the WWE where they can present that even in storyline as quote unquote evidence, so to speak. There is something disturbing about that whole thing. I don't have a hot take on it yet, but I'm still digesting it.
Still digesting. Guess who's not digesting anything right now? Me with this hat. Boom. Shakalaka. I will though. Stay tuned. What did we have here? Oh, The Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Almost 20 minutes these guys got. The Miz was great. Dolph Ziggler fit in. The finish was the old hairspray into the eyes of the babyface. So this feud probably continues. I'm still gung-ho on this idea, Jeff. We have Dean Ambrose no longer the world champion. Keep the championship on The Miz. Make Dean Ambrose the number one contender going into WrestleMania. That's right. Miz stays the champion all the way to WrestleMania. Keep Dean Ambrose strong. Make him the one who can finally beat The Miz. One-on-one, Ambrose-Miz. Make it mean something for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania instead of some eight-way ladder match that won't mean anything for the Intercontinental Championship. I want to see them go all the way with Miz because The Miz is peaking right now.
Yeah, and I want Miz to break the Honky Tonk Man's record. I think he deserves it. I think it would give him more heat, to be honest with you, as a heel. They kind of alluded to the Daniel Bryan story on air today, which is still kind of weird to me. I think maybe we're getting Kendrick. Who knows?
Yeah, something's going on there because Miz, even during the match, was, you know, taking shots at Daniel Bryan. So something is going to happen there. It's not over. I don't know if Daniel Bryan, like you said, is going to bring in Brian Kendrick or somebody to try and take the championship off of Miz. But Miz and Daniel Bryan, that's not being let go of.
Yeah. And this match started slow, but it ended up being pretty good at the end, I thought. Even with the screwjob finish. I don't mind screwjob finishes on B pay-per-view, so to speak, because this isn't the finish of the story.
No, especially because, yeah, just keep it going. Keep it going. Both guys worked really hard. The Miz was great. And you have The Miz retaining the Intercontinental Championship. Maurice still involved. Maurice is fantastic. So, yeah, keep that going. I just wanted to mean something. I want us to get a storyline where Dean Ambrose would be my guy. It can be, you know, anyone else. They can build up anyone. We're still many, many months away from WrestleMania. Dean Ambrose would be my guy. You know, keep him out of the world title picture. You have John Cena coming back. You have Randy Orton there. You have AJ Styles the champ. Maybe, you know, hold Dean Ambrose back a little bit. Get him ready for the Intercontinental Championship. Make that belt mean something going into WrestleMania. But yeah, we have Dolph Ziggler now failing again in the championship match. But because of the way this ended, I don't think it's going to be the last time we see it. I think they're going to go on to No Mercy. We did get the announcement of No Mercy happening at the beginning of October in Sacramento at the new Golden One Center, I believe it's what it's called. So we are getting No Mercy back. They're getting Backlash and they're getting No Mercy. SmackDown officially is the early 2000 pay-per-views.
Yeah. I have nothing to say about that.
Good take.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say about that? I mean, we're getting, you know, we're getting more pay-per-views, and I don't know. Do they pay off a Ziggler win here eventually, or is it just he's going to keep losing? Yeah.
Don't pay off a Ziggler win against Miz because Miz should keep the championship until WrestleMania. And when I say keep the championship until WrestleMania, I mean WrestleMania 48. Not next one. Keep the belt for 15 so on years. Speaking of payoff, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. A count out victory that they are calling a forfeit victory. 24 seconds. That's how long it took Charles Robinson to count to 10. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they did the count out. I guess it adds heat to eventual Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton match. But then you have Bray Wyatt coming out. We eventually get a no holds barred match with Kane. And the Bray Wyatt and Kane match was really good. I thought it went 11 minutes. Kane did the best he could. Bray Wyatt did the best he could. The crowd seemed to love it towards the end. But the question will be after this. The question is not why did Kane win? I don't even think that's an interesting question. All right. Kane won the match. So be it. Randy Orton came out to cost Bray Wyatt the match. So Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt is where they're going. They very well may rematch and do the actual bout at No Mercy. So that's where they're going with this. The result in this particular case, I think, is just not important. But why have Randy Orton if he is under some concussion protocol? How is he even going out there? How is he taking part in physical activity in the ring? That's why you're right. I don't think this can be concussion related.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think they did the 10 count to make, you know, to just kind of increase the boost in the arena because everybody saw him beat up Randy Orton in the back with the foot. So now he's just kind of rubbing it in. Yeah, he's not coming out, and give people hope, even though they know he's not coming out, so to speak. And then when he did show up, it was, of course, like, oh, okay. The Kane win means nothing, and Bray Wyatt losing really doesn't mean all that much either because Randy Orton caused it. At least in their minds, that's how they view
it. Yeah, I don't think the result was that bad. B-Megs in the chat is asking, does the count-out thing fit Bray Wyatt's character?
Maybe if he's trying to tease the fans, but other than that, not really. I mean, I agree with that point somewhat. I mean, why would he even come out for the match? Why? I mean, but, you know, this isn't...
He came out to rub it in Randy Orton's face. Bray Wyatt was rubbing it, and as any respectful or respectable heel would do, you rub it in. We've talked about the main events and all these other matches that we're talking about here. We, you know, if they do Miz and Dolph again, if they do Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, if they do a rematch with Ambrose and AJ Styles, Edward in the chat room is asking, No Mercy, is it going to be the exact same card?
Possibly, yeah.
We might have the addition of John Cena, of course, so whatever John Cena is going to do.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have a singles match for the women's title.
Yeah,
I think we'll have a six-way, so it won't be totally the same. Enough. Baron Corbin will be going up against somebody other than Apollo Crews, probably Kalisto.
Yeah, we have some... also, don't forget, Curt Hawkins is on his way in.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of Curt Hawkins. What do you think about the Curt Hawkins facts?
I liked him when it was Chuck Norris and Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy did it better. In fact, some of them were Matt Hardy's facts. Matt Hardy did it better. But this was a pretty good pay-per-view up to this point, and we were still, you know, up to getting the two best things on the show back-to-back. Heath Slater and Rhino, in a surprise to us, winning the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships at the end of this tournament. They defeated the Usos, 10-minute tag team match. It was hot. Rhino getting the gore, but letting Heath Slater get the pin. This was as good as it could have been. I was surprised just because we talked about the logic of the Usos winning and having the belts as American Alpha gets back. We're probably still going to get the Usos and American Alpha, but now we're going to have the fun stuff of Rhino and Heath Slater, and it felt like a big deal. Like, Heath Slater had been showing up on Raw and SmackDown, but they played up this gimmick so well of him having all these kids and this family and this trailer in the South, and he needs a contract that he didn't have, and now he's earned it. And it felt like a cool moment. Heath Slater and Rhino, the tag team champions of SmackDown. Did you get all of the feels, as the kids say?
I liked it up until the point they had him cut that promo. I really did. I thought that promo was terrible.
You didn't like the promo? The ending with the, we're getting a double wide.
We're getting a double wide.
Nuts. That's great.
No.
It was great. You are heartless. You are heartless,
No,
son.
I wanted to feel something on this because it felt great at the time. It was such a coolly laid out match with you know, him tagging in way too early on a slightly wounded Rhino. I thought it was a, you know, I'm happy they didn't make Rhino just put Heath Slater on top of the guy. That would have killed any emotion out of this. But yeah, no, they got a geek over on SmackDown just by telling a story, and he did his best to not play it with a wink and a nod. He plays it straight every time and has been rewarded by this crowd. And I think part of it, again, is the guy's quote unquote in charge on camera give this environment of it being a quote unquote fun, more positive show than Stephanie McMahon and Triple H or the Authority or the McMahons. And it's all about politics and all this other stuff. There's a weird, more positive vibe on SmackDown. So guys like Heath Slater, who normally would just be seen as groan worthy, time to go get nachos and go to the bathroom, they get a chance.
I'm a big fan of what Heath Slater can do here. I think you make excellent points. This one's going to really be half the battle was the push towards them winning the tag team titles. Yes. Now the other half is the follow-up. Sometimes you'll get the push is there. The follow-up is all key.
I have no faith in the follow-up. I have no faith in the follow-up, Rob. They're going to be geeks. They're going to be comedy. Rhino's going to kill him at some point to lose the titles.
Maybe.
And this is how this is how the Usos get the title so American Alpha can chase.
If Rhino killed Heath Slater, would that be good or bad for his state representative run in Michigan?
It's going to be after the election.
He's not winning the election. Not even going to be close.
No, not in that district. No.
Not in that district. He's going to lose by a lot. So good for Rhino, at least winning the tag team championships, making this overall a positive year.
And then he can blame his association with Heath on losing the election as well.
Uh-huh. He was wearing his nice little pro wrestling tees, vote for Rhino shirt tonight. I love how WWE doesn't care and they'll just let these guys wear whatever shirt they want, including shirts sold by other people.
I think that's part of his deal.
It could be part of everyone's deal. We want to welcome a new sponsor to the show. We got the main event here talking about. Well, we're going to talk about this AJ Styles Dean Ambrose match because it was excellent. We got a new sponsor to the show, and I want to thank Dollar Shave Club for coming on board. If you are watching the video right now, you can see that both Jeff and myself probably need it. After this, we'll be using our Dollar Shave Club razors and getting a nice clean shave and becoming respectable gentlemen again. If by again, you mean for the first time, Rob. Yes, that's what I mean. Guys, you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer to prove how amazing their shave really is right now. Just by listening to Shake Them Ropes, they are offering you your first month free to join Dollar Shave Club. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to your door for a third of the price of what the greedy razor corporations charge. You know they're greedy, Jeff. You know it. And these guys are not greedy. They want to get you a nice razor for an affordable price so you can shave. How many times, Jeff? You have the grown out beard. You go to your work.
This is 3 days of growth. That's all this is.
This is like 3 days for me too. I don't grow fast, but the thing is,
I grow dark.
When I go to my razor though, when I go to look for it, back in the day, you had to go and you hope it was still clean. It was still going to cut you and it wasn't going to hurt you. Right. And you don't always go to the store in time to get the new blades when you need them. And you have to keep using that grimy razor and it's no fun. And with Dollar Shave Club, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You get the razors delivered right to your door. That's right. You can get the first class shave experience with the executive blade. And when you use it with Dr. Carver's shave butter, the blade gently glides for the smoothest shave ever. And it really is something special. And right now, for listening to Shake Them Ropes, you have a chance to see why over 3 million members love Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all their products. Now you can get your first month of the club for free. Just pay shipping. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. No long-term commitment. That's the best part. No hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. That is dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. Get your first month free right now. Try it.
My brother's a member of Dollar Shave Club because I've used that shave butter before that they have. And it's great. I like it a lot.
Yep. So I want to welcome Dollar Shave Club on board here. Get your stuff. And believe me, the lack of hassle is going to be your favorite part. More than even the shave. Just the ease and the use of the service is going to be your favorite part. So I want to thank Dollar Shave Club for coming on because we got to get our shaves on. Andrew in the chat room says, did he eat the hat yet? Did he eat the hat yet? Thought negative. I was going to miss some history being made. Thanks, B-Megs. History will be made. You got to stay tuned. We got to figure out how we're going to do this, how we're going to make it available to the most people here on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel. So my suggestion to you, if you haven't already, subscribe at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube so you will know when the updates are coming. Follow us on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes so you don't miss out on the historic eating of the hat. But we had an historic event here on WWE Backlash. AJ Styles defeating Dean Ambrose to win both the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE
linear championship that Dean Ambrose had been held for several months. AJ Styles is your new champion. 25 minutes it took to defeat Dean Ambrose. The crowd was a little lackadaisical in this match. Towards the end, it really picked up. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles coming out here. Dean Ambrose looked super strong throughout most of the match. Like, he looked like a world beater. He was crushing AJ Styles all over the place. He was knocking him silly. You didn't think maybe AJ Styles was going to follow through with his plans to win this championship. But in the end of the day, it was AJ Styles' turn, and he proved that, you know, no one on SmackDown really is worthy of this guy. He beat John Cena. He beat Dean Ambrose. He's been running through the WWE roster for the last 7 months now. Who's going to stop AJ Styles as the new champion?
Dare I say this might have been Dean Ambrose's best match as champ?
I believe it's his best singles match in WWE.
Okay, great. It picked up once he stopped doing the offense we're all used to seeing, when he was doing the banging AJ's head into the mat during the calf crusher, the slingshot into the ring post on the apron type of thing, when he looked like he was fighting and just brawling as opposed to just doing a paint-by-numbers WWE match. That's what really got the audience into this. I was a little worried about AJ playing the flaky heel here at the beginning, just because the way they're presenting him, he's laying it on a bit thick, especially with like the guys in the back and, you know, who are you looking on your phone and all these other things. But it turned into a pretty good, vicious, hard-hitting match, I thought. And I thought the ending was the proper booking. You established him being a credible main event player by winning clean over John Cena. And now he can win the belt by kicking Dean in the balls and being a dirty, cheating heel. I thought that's the way to go here. And I think, you know, and it gives Dean a reason to continue this feud. And I think AJ's going to be fine as a champ. And I think John Cena is eventually going to take the belt from him.
John Cena and AJ Styles is going to be something special in the future. I thought Randy Orton, with the whole Bray Wyatt deal, Randy Orton was going to be built up to be an AJ Styles challenger as well, doing Randy Orton versus AJ. Thought that could be a really top level program for SmackDown. Well,
let me cut you off. It still can be, but
it can be, but it's on a little bit of a delay now with Randy Orton being hurt, because he's still got to beat Bray Wyatt. He can't just move right onto AJ, right?
It was going to be delayed anyways, because they were going to continue this Dean program for a while, because Randy doesn't need the title. Randy doesn't need to be in the title program. They need to give a deep card right now, and Randy Orton has enough heft where you can use him second down on the card against a guy like a Bray Wyatt, who needs to be rebuilt in some ways as a main event style heel. He doesn't need to be in this top program at all times. And in fact, he probably shouldn't be, because, I mean, look at how bored we got by, of all things, Christian and Randy Orton when they were the top guys on SmackDown. Even though they were having great matches, it wasn't moving the needle at all. Randy Orton doesn't move the needle quite a bit, but he still has heft as a main event player.
We have some chat in our YouTube page right now, people talking about how AJ Styles... We've seen the rash of "you deserve it" chants. We had it earlier on the show with Becky Lynch. We had it with Sasha Banks. We had it with Kevin Owens. The people wanting to let the wrestlers know that, hey, we believe in you as champion, and we always have. The "you deserve it" chants have been taking off in WWE. People noting that AJ Styles, once he won the title, he retreated quickly to the entrance ramp and then retreated quickly to the back once the show went off the air to make sure that he would not get an overabundance of those "you deserve it" chants. That may not have been the reason, but that was one of the side effects, basically. What do you think of these "you deserve it" chants, and do they go a little bit too far? Should they stop? What do you feel about the crowd chanting "you deserve it"?
I have no problem with crowds rewarding people they've watched for a long time, finally getting to the top of the mountain when everybody else said they wouldn't. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's up to the performers, depending on if they're face or heel, to then use those chants to further their character. I don't think it's up to us to judge the crowd for shouting "you deserve it." Because, look, we live in this internet world where we know these people from the indies on up. And a lot of people have been fans of these guys for a long, long time. A lot know the struggles. A lot know what people said about them behind the scenes. So, you know, is it a little bit much? Yes. I think we're easily amused at times. You know, you deserve it, fight forever, both these guys. I think there's not a lot of real heels left anymore, and that's also part of it. Everybody's doing, you know, and that makes me sound a little like Jim Cornette in some way, but it's not that it's not a bad point either, necessarily, because the only real heels out there are the McMahons, so to speak, in terms of people you want to hate, because they put themselves over the main heels mostly. I mean, your heels now are kind of your snarky, funny, cowardly heels as opposed to, you know, vicious guys. I mean, the Revival are heels on NXT, and they don't care, and they can get booed still. It's up to the performers to get booed, even though I may think that the You Deserve a Chant comes too easy.
We have a couple of questions coming from the YouTube chat. That was WWE Backlash.
Well, hold on. You didn't give an opinion. I want to hear yours.
But I mean, I love the match. I'm loving.
No, about the You Deserve a Chant.
Yes, but I'm getting there. I love the match. I love the AJ Styles win. I think he's a smart guy. He didn't let the You Deserve a Chance happen. That may not have been the reason. You know, we have people in the chat room saying that, it had to have absolutely been the reason. That may be. But he gets out of there. He's a smart guy. This is a guy who's been wrestling forever. And, you know, he's adapted really well in WWE. And he was not going to let the You Deserve a Chance happen. Now, on the other side, Kevin Owens, when he was getting those You Deserve a Chance, played it off better than almost anyone else could have and turned it around on the crowd. Should the crowd be chanting "You deserve it"? They can chant whatever they want. I've always been a believer in what they, you know, you can chant whatever you want. Can I be annoyed by it? Sure. That's my right too, to be annoyed by it, but I'm not going to instill my beliefs upon others. So I'm fine with the chants if you want to do it.
Yeah. On Tuesday, if he comes out and they're shouting "You deserve it," he should just cut a promo saying, "Yes, I deserve it because I beat him with all my talent fair and square." You know, just kind of, you know, play up that he did this on his own without any help and really
do what he's been doing. Come out and say, "Yes, I deserve it because I beat Dean Ambrose.
Yeah,
I beat John
Cena. I'm better than everybody." And shut up. That
you've always been doing. Absolutely. Yes,
you pay to see me. You know, those types of things.
I'm at risk. We had we had Twitter feedback. I made fun of the state of Texas either last week or on the Fightful podcast on Monday. I made fun of the state of Texas and I got an angry
tweet. That's a possibility.
I got an angry tweet from someone saying, "I can't believe I ever listened to you. How dare you mock Texas?"
I agree.
Yes. Now I'm at risk of losing all of our Ohio listeners by blaming the state of Ohio for me having to eat a hat.
I'm repping the Bengals. Come to me. Come.
So I'm just going to wipe away every state, and we're just going to have UK listeners and Australian listeners from here on out. So I'm wiping away one state at a time. We have questions from the YouTube chat. That is Backlash, WWE Backlash. A very good show, a very fun show, as we said. If all of these brand-only pay-per-views are like that one, we're in for a fun second half of the year.
I agree. I don't think the Raw pay-per-views are going to be this smooth at all.
Which is interesting because I would have thought going in that the Raw pay-per-views had a much better chance of being the interesting ones.
I think they'll have better matches. Don't get me wrong, but I can hear Vince's script notes in my head and just see the direction and have the Stephanie. And it's going to be, I mean, there was no Shane on this pay-per-view at all. How refreshing was that? You had Daniel Bryan for a very short period, but you had no Shane.
I would love the GMs to take a smaller role. I would love the commissioners to take a smaller role. They basically have, at least on the SmackDown side. But yeah, if they continue to just become less and less important, even though Daniel Bryan is the authority figures themselves shouldn't be that critical.
Exactly.
I like that.
They're there to make the story flow. They are non-player characters.
Exactly. The pay-per-view ended at about 2.5 hours, roughly what we expected it to. It didn't go the full 3 hours. These brand-only pay-per-views will probably be shorter than the three-hour mark. They don't need to be any larger than that.
Yes.
So it's good for us. I mean, it gave us time to, kind of settle down here before coming on live. I want to thank everyone again. We're not done yet, but I want to thank everyone for joining us live here on the Backlash post-show
at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, support our sponsors, Dollar Shave Club and Lyft, lyft.com/bonus. Select Shake Them Ropes and go to dollarshaveclub.com/ropes to see all the great deals you can get from there. We're going to preview the Cruiserweight Classic finale, which is coming up Wednesday. We're going to preview that really quick here. But first, we got a couple of questions. We had a chat room question asking, what's next for Santino Marella?
Enjoying retirement.
It's basically Santino Marella's gone. He's not coming back. Do you see Santino Marella ever going into the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Everyone does, right? If you're on good terms with WWE and you were somewhat popular at some point, you're getting into the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Chris on the chat room says, I wonder if Jeff knows that Rob is pushing people to tweet Jeff hat recipes. I think he's got all the names backwards. I see in your little tiny bar there, send recipes for hat to @crapgame13. Are you going to make the hat dish for me, Jeff? I wonder if the interested in that.
I was going to compile a large email and send them to you.
Hmm. Hat strip fajitas is a popular suggestion. Cutting into strips, putting in fajita shells. Edward on the chat room says, Canada still likes you, Rob. Well, I got Canada still. And B-Megs is telling you that Shane McMahon opened Backlash. He was in the ring at the open of Backlash. Did you miss that part?
I must have just not remembered it. Okay, yeah. Well, fine. But I mean, he wasn't a major part of it, is more my point.
Yeah.
I mean, no, okay, fine. Right. I missed the cameo. Mea culpa on me, but...
Nope, no problem.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the opening of Back. I came in right as the women's six-pack challenge was starting. So I didn't... I was going off of your word on that one. Let's see. What is going on here about... Oh, B-Megs asked, does Rhino and Slater, do they make it past Tuesday as a team? Not just tag team champions, but as a team in general. Are they going to be more than two-day champions?
Possibly no, but I think yes.
I think the way they were celebrating on Tuesday and the fact that they are tag team champions and there's no logical contender, I think we're getting them defending the titles at No Mercy. I don't see any way around it. I think they have to defend the titles at No Mercy.
And I think they're probably losing at No Mercy.
Johnny Gargano finished up with Evolve tonight on the Evolve 9/11 pay-per-view. So Johnny Gargano is headed to the WWE Performance Center. We've talked about that for months on this show. That kind of plays into the Cruiserweight Classic and future NXT TakeOver stuff. They announced the next NXT TakeOver is going to be on the Saturday night before Survivor Series. It is happening in Canada, in Montreal, I believe it is. Or is it Toronto? It's Toronto, right?
It is Toronto.
Toronto. So that's a special occasion right there. Saturday before Survivor Series, the next NXT TakeOver happening, the first time that it is happening live in Toronto, in Canada in general. But Johnny Gargano, done with Evolve. That leads us to the Cruiserweight Classic coming up on Wednesday. We don't have, I believe, any matches other than the semifinals and, of course, the finals happening. We have in our semifinals right now, Gran Metalik versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi versus TJ Perkins. Where do you stand now as we are just a few days away? Are you changing who you think might win? Is it still in flux for you? I'm pretty set on TJ Perkins winning it, but I'm not 100% confident. I think any of the four, honestly, can win. Gran Metalik would be a guy that I could see winning, too. Where do you stand on what you expect to see on Wednesday?
You are incorrect, though. They have announced another match.
Oh, what did they announce?
Part of part of another match. On NXT, Regal promised Gargano and Ciampa a tag team match.
Okay.
I don't know if it is against the Revival or not, but we may be getting that.
Yeah, I did not see any official match on there, so I could see that they would do something. That would be interesting if they give them the Revival tag team championship match, kind of get the NXT bump onto the show there. But do you think they might be debuting a different team? Might they be debuting a team? Might they be, you know, bringing back some of the Cruiserweight Classic competitors?
I'll hold any of those out as possibilities. As to your question, I tend to side with you on this one. I think since TJ Perkins is signed and can speak English, good looking, flashy, crowd pleasing.
Talk about that background story that they've been playing up all year on the Cruiserweight Classic.
They could put that video on Raw and he'd be an instant star. So yeah, I tend to side it with TJ Perkins. But they made such a big deal about Ibushi at NXT. And you know, they may want to pay that off, but any of these four could win, but I think TJ Perkins is the logical choice.
I like TJ Perkins. I'm really expecting to enjoy this show a lot. I think the semifinal matches are hugely entertaining. Kota Ibushi and TJ Perkins, Zack Sabre, Grand Metalik is a little clash in styles. I would love to see a final of Kota Ibushi versus Grand Metalik, and whoever wins, surprise me. No matter who wins, I think it'll be great. What I expect to see is TJ Perkins versus Zack Sabre. TJ Perkins and Grand Metalik would be great too. I don't know.
Yes.
Who's the least likely, do you think? If we had to pick one person who we think, okay, there's no way they make the final, who would that be?
Zack Sabre.
Yeah. I was going to go Kota Ibushi just because I don't think if he signs, you push him all the way to the final. Because if you have him in the final, I really feel like the crowd there is going to be disappointed if he does not win.
I'll tell you why. Number one, he hasn't signed. Number two, he has the least buzz of any of the four competitors coming into this in terms of his matches on the actual CWC. You know, the reactions to the Sabre Noam Dar match were mixed. People are mocking him on Twitter for his looks. You know, tell him to hit a gym. He's too skinny, whatever. And he is been fairly clear that he is not going to sign, that he wants to do some more independence or whatever he wants to do right now. So I think out of the four, he's the least likely. If I were to play percentages. I think it goes in terms of least to most. It's Zach, Kota, Grand Metalik, and TJ Perkins. Because Kota Ibushi's in the same boat as Zack Sabre Jr. and that he doesn't want to sign a full-time contract, but at the same time he wowed them in a few matches there, so he gets the nod in that respect.
What if Roderick Strong shows up on Wednesday?
I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. I like Roddy Strong a lot, so I have no problem with that.
This is going to be a fun
Sabre.
Show.
If he killed, you know what? If he killed Sabre, it'd be even better for me.
CWC Mystery Vortex 4.
Are we doing a live post show?
Be quite the show. Stay tuned. I don't know if we're going to be doing a live post show, folks. Okay. This was fun. I'm glad we were able to get back into. I will say this is an announcement I wanted to make. You know, we talked about the old hattying gimmick. We'll come up with some creative things that hopefully you guys will enjoy about the old hat eating deal with CM Punk fighting in the UFC. If you hate it, I'm sorry. We're doing our best here. But we'll be back on, I think, a more regular schedule of doing these post shows coming up in October and at least in November. As we head into 2017, I want to be a little bit more regular on these post shows because I know we've missed some, we've hit some. I pride myself on keeping us, you know, weekly, making sure we don't take weeks off. There are a lot of podcasts out there. A lot of them, you know, they come and go. They also, their schedule is no schedule at all. You know, and I'm not taking shots at them. Sometimes that's the best people can do. Sometimes you have time. Other weeks you may not have time. But I really like that we keep this weekly and we try to make sure we get a show out every week. I don't know if we're going to be live after the Cruiserweight Classic. And I don't know if it's a show that we can really spend. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a show we'll be able to spend an hour on. I don't know if talking about, you know, does Kota Ibushi sign? Where does TJ Perkins go from here? I don't necessarily know if we're going to have, you know, a lot to say about the Cruiserweight Classic because it is such a one-off show. Of course, we'll have Raw and SmackDown to discuss. So there's other content that can fill in. I just don't know if we'll be able to, scheduling-wise, fit a post-show in on Wednesday. But I hope to at least, and I think we're on the same page here, we should at least have one more show this week. But in case we don't, our Backlash show will serve as Shake Them Ropes for the week. So just follow us on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. Make sure you're following Jeff. Get all the updates on the shows. Follow us on iTunes. If you're not subscribing on iTunes, go to iTunes anyway to do a review and a rating for the show. Help others find us. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't listen via iTunes, and that's okay. But iTunes is the best way to help others search for us because it is the number one podcasting platform in the world. You know, I use iTunes. Not everyone does. I understand. Bit.ly, if you see it on the screen right now, bit.ly/str iTunes is the link there. Thoughts for the rest of the week, Jeff?
Looking forward to see how this plays out for this pay-per-view. I'm kind of intrigued by Raw a little bit, but I'm mostly stoked about the CWC finals. I'm with you. I think that card's going to be fantastic. I think they're going to sweeten up with some guys that are going to be good, and maybe some multi-man tags, and who knows? Maybe we do get the debut of someone there.
We can get the debut of someone. I really want to see a Brian Kendrick match. I really do. I want to see Brian Kendrick back. Whether it's on SmackDown, whether it's on NXT, whether it's on the CWC for this one night only type of deal on the 14th, I want to see one more Brian Kendrick performance. I think he's earned that from the Kota Ibushi match.
I agree.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us live here. If you're listening via the podcast version, which most of you will end up doing, thank you for listening to our review of Backlash here. Subscribe on iTunes, bit.ly/str iTunes. Visit our sponsors. If you go to voicesofwrestling.com/str, in the show post, you'll be able to see links to our sponsors, Dollar Shave Club and Lyft. And check out future shows, past shows. Everything is available at voicesofwrestling.com/str. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday night. We will see you next time on Shake Them Ropes.